This Week in Hearthstone is a fan-made news podcast created by Ryan Kubo. All articles are publicly available news articles, and all news articles are credited in the podcast audio as well as in the show notes. No profit is made off of this show and was purely created to give personal opinions and insight into the game of Hearthstone. What is up, guys? How's it going? Ryan here, back with you again for another episode of This Week in Hearthstone. Before we really get started, I just wanted to preemptively apologize for last week where we did not have an episode. There wasn't too much news, to be honest, or anything like precedent that was like, oh, we should really like talk about it or like rival in it or marinate in it, to be honest. So we ended up just skipping last week. I also was kind of under the weather too as well, so I do apologize for that. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like there is like not that many articles out right now. It's just like prequels to the articles and stuff like that as well. So unfortunately, it doesn't seem like we're going to have much of this episode either, so I do apologize to you guys. But once again, before we start, as always, please, if you guys haven't already, go check us out on audio on Spotify and iTunes, as well as on YouTube, along with the episode description and the information down below. You can also check out the various other podcasts that are on the network as well. You guys can go check those out and listen to them as well. If you want some more content that's beyond just like Hearthstone news and stuff like that, we can always go over that as well. So with that being said, though, we can just get started and kind of just start talking about stuff right now. So the Brawl is out for this week, and it is probably my least favorite Brawl. I just if you guys were here for the pre-show or whatever of the episode, we did the showdown at Black Rock Mountain, which is this week's Brawl. It is basically a Brawl that is awful. But this is the first Brawl that was ever in history. It came out June 17th, 2015. It's the fifth time we've seen this Brawl. They've done some updates to it, but not a lot of stuff. You queue up and you either get Nefarian or Ragnaros. Ragnaros starts with 60 health. His hero power is Molten Rage when you initially summoned, which means that for 2 mana, you summon a 5/1 Magma Rager. And then it switches to Die Insect, which deals 8 damage to a random enemy for 2 mana, and it's because you get equipped Sulphurous, the 2 mana 2/6 weapon. Your hero power becomes deal 8 damage to a random enemy minion when it is destroyed. Nefarian starts with 30 health, 30 armor, but then he also has a hero power called Wild Magic, which adds a random spell from any class to your hand, and it costs 0. So basically, the playstyles are very like synergistic or whatever. They've changed a lot of stuff that happened in this Brawl as well. They said Ragnaros is weaker early game, but if you get to turn 6 after always using weapon, you get amazing hero power. Make sure you mulligan for cheap cards to help. So Ragnaros does not come with like, it's really weird. Nefarian starts with like 4 mana and Ragnaros starts with 1, just like traditional Hearthstone games. So it's really, really weird to see how like, yeah, it, I don't know. Nefarian for me, people are saying that Rag's pretty weak, but I thought he was okay for how I was playing the Brawl. I lost like 2 times Nefarian because I kept getting these really bad hero, like with his hero power, the spells that I would get were just really, really crappy and just like were not good like at all. And so we ended up just like dying pretty fast to the Rag, and the Rag like mulliganing like cheaper minions and stuff like that as well didn't help like the situation really. But we just got done, if you guys didn't know, we play some games before and sometimes after a podcast episode, so that's also kind of shameless plug if you guys are listening on another website that you should go check out my Twitch for that. But we did play like a game that was like 25 minutes long or something like that. It was like the longest game that I've ever played in my life in Hearthstone or whatever. Overall though, this Brawl, it's fun the first couple of times. Go in, you know, play it, get your free classic pack as always, but overall it was kind of, it's kind of a letdown only because you can't really complete quests in it if that's what you want to do, and you can't really complete, or the only quest you really complete is like Tavern Brawl, like to play 3 Tavern Brawls or win 3 Tavern Brawls or whatever it is. So overall, I don't really like this one. I've seen it a lot. They've made some iterations here and there. Just go in, get your classic pack, get out. Games are actually can be extremely long as well. So yeah, if you can't get it, just play against a friend, right? And get your free classic pack from that. Next up, we have the Vicious Syndicate Report. If it's your guys' first time at this podcast or listening to this podcast, remember that we go over the Brawl and the Vicious Syndicate Report each and every time, the first 2 articles, and then we can kind of get into the main news. But the Vicious Data Report number 128 is now out. If you don't know what Vicious Syndicate is, they are in conjunction and run with HS Replay as well as the Hearthstone Deck Tracker as well. And so they've been pulling a bunch of data from, you know, the game. They have 4,800 active contributors. With this one, we have overall 60,000 games that were played, and this data is pulled from last week. So keep in mind that the meta could already be changing from this or whatever. So basically, I don't really go over a ton of stuff. The article is linked in your episode description notes, so it's probably something that you want to check out or whatever if you kind of want a better breakdown of everything or whatever. Keep in mind, as always, that they have a wild report, but it comes out about once a month. Also, they have the way that they do ranks is basically anything below rank 15 is not, they have the data for it, but they don't they don't show you the data in these reports. It is for ranks 15 to 10, and then, 14 to 10, 9 to 5, 4 to 1, and then legend. So keep that in mind as well, that anything below rank 14, they don't really list or utilize that data at all. Essentially Rogue is just really, really popular or whatever, but it's the class that everyone's trying to beat, so its win rate has like gone down like very, very minuscule at this point in time. From the last data report that we ended up like talking about or whatever. But Lackey Rogue seems to be the number one deck right now at around a 53% or whatever, with a power score of 100, frequency score of 100, and meta score is 100. So basically power score is like how powerful the deck is in this meta. The power of this deck is really, really strong, 100%. Frequency score is like how often we see this deck within games, which is like 100. And these aren't percents. These are just, you know, arbitrary numbers from 0 to 100. And then the meta score, how much is this deck defining the meta, you know, is 100%, right? Because they added these metrics in there because, remember, we had things like Quest Rogue, which didn't actually have a super high win rate, but it did actually dictate how the meta was played, right? So that's why the meta score is there. It has a power rating of 53, which is around, you know, just those are in percent. So Lackey Rogue, 53%. Bomb Hunter, 52%, with a power score of 93. Frequency score of 48, though. So you don't actually see that many Bomb Hunters as of last week, and meta score of 71. And then it goes Mech Paladin, Bomb Warrior, Control Warrior, Murloc Shaman, Token Druid, Conjurer Mage, Zoo Warlock, right? So there's a lot of data here to ingest. We don't really look at tiers 3 and 4, so sorry, guys, as well. It says Lackey Rogue sits at the top of the meta for another week. It's a sole tier 1 deck at higher levels of play and exhibits perfect meta scores at every bracket. What's interesting to note is that its performance against the field is continuing to decline due to the hostility by every other meta deck trying its best to beat it, right? So whenever a deck is number 1 or whatever, a bunch of decks will come out of the woodwork and try to beat that deck, unless of course we have something that's like super broken and super ingrained, right? Last meta, or the last few metas that we had, we saw Odd Paladin and Even Paladin and Even Shaman. That's the top 3 decks tier 1 consistently, basically them just fighting it out, kind of whatever everyone's mood of the week was. And that's because like their hero power, right, which they got, which is something that can't really be like changed or nerfed per se, was just really, really, really strong. So it says this establishes Lackey Rogue as the strongest and most influential deck in the format, but it might not be as historically broken as decks like Jade Druid or Even Paladin. In global win rates, its global win rate would be very reasonable if not for its meta warping play rate. So while we do think Lackey Rogue is the best deck in the game, in a historical complex, it's not completely running away with this title. So keep in mind with that, they are saying that it's a really, really strong deck, but it's not like what they feel like is a super oppressive deck, and then it still has counters and stuff like that. They said Bomb Hunter has a second winnest high rate because it's able to counter Warriors and Mages right now. Warriors are a deck where it doesn't have the highest win rate, but people are saying that's like really frustrating to play against, especially Bomb and Control Warrior. But it's still losing to Rogue. So while it's a powerful deck, it's not a deck that can like defeat Rogue, basically. The most interesting thing out of the whole meta is just Token Druid, right? Token Druid is a deck that has been pretty consistently high within the HS Replay rankings, and I believe last week it was actually like the number one or number two ranked deck. And as of like right now on on HS Replay, it's actually super, super powerful. The thing is too with the deck is it's actually fairly cheap to play. Right now, like the main deck is using Archmage Vargoth, which is essentially a free card. Everyone got that card, right, if they logged onto Hearthstone. And then the other card is Keeper Staldurus, which is that after you cast it, I choose one spell, add copies of it both choices to your hand. And besides that, it has a handful of epics, but honestly, mostly rares, commons, and basic cards. So because of that, the deck is actually super, super cheap to create and to craft right now. And because of that, it actually has so many games played. It has 1.9 million games right now played in the meta. The second most played deck is at 330,000 games, which is obviously right now, which is the Tempo Rogue, the one that we just kind of talked about with Blink Fox and all that other stuff. Coming in next is Balm Warrior and Tempo Rogue again, which the Tempo Rogue one there is, it looks like the lackey variant of the Tempo Rogue with Togwago and Myra's unstable element. So because of that, Token Druid is actually like one of the most played decks in a while, just because of how cheap it is. I think this is the deck that people are gonna lean towards probably if they're trying to make like a meta deck that's like cheaper to make, because the dust cost for this is not as high as most other decks. So it says it's been getting a lot of flack recently. There's certainly developments in the meta, but there are meta trends that indicate it should stick around as a relevant player in the meta. It performs well against Bomb Hunter, and its bigger counter, Zoo Warlock, is struggling. While it isn't dominant deck by any means, it's still strong enough to be very competitive. So Zoo Warlock, 50% win rate right now. People brought it to the Hearthstone Championship World Champs for 2019. Didn't do very well at all. That deck might be falling off as well. It says Zoo Warlock is in trouble. Its win rate is continuing to decline, and it's evident that the deck struggles at higher levels, sinking to the bottom of Tier 3. Unlike Token Druid, which is stabilizing at a decent spot, Zoo may spiral completely out of relevance. Really, the only thing that Zoo really counters a lot is Token Druid. And so because of that, it might not be able to last very long. But we can check out some of the decks that are here. But they're pretty much what you would expect. And the decks are also on HS Replay as well. Lackey Rogue, pretty standard deck. Zilliax, Myra's Unstable Portal, Leroy Jenkins, Life Drinkers now are being added to the deck as well for some reason. And I'm not really sure why that is. We can kind of take a look at the report and see why that is. Let's see. So while evaluating it, there are two ways we can accommodate Life Drinker. I guess they're just using Life Drinker. I'm not really sure why. They said double Life Drinker by making a first noble achievement with the card, which quickly spread at higher levels of play. I guess it just provides like better lethal, better healing, and stuff like that as well as a card, and it's a pretty efficient 4-drop. Bomb Hunter as well. It's a pretty standard deck, to be honest. I think a lot of people are playing it with Boommaster Flex, Zilliax, and Leroy, where people are just like magnetizing a lot of the bombs and stuff like that. It's Blittering Warriors and Mages with incredible consistency. Its weaknesses lies in faster matches facing Lackey Rogue, as well as board flaying decks such as Zoo, Token Druid, or Murloc Shaman as well. So pretty good deck as well, as long as you're not facing like super crazy aggro decks, I guess, right now as well. Murloc Shaman is super, super, super strong right now. It's, you know, it's up there. It's also one of the like pre-built decks, which is kind of crazy. There's two versions of Murloc Shaman that they recommend. There's the one that's just like the basic build out, which is pretty much just the one that is in your deck recipes as the default one as well right now. That one is pretty good, but there's other variants of the deck as well that kind of create more, in my opinion, stabilize the deck for it to be a little bit better in the mid to late game. They said that it's making strides. They said largely thanks to people who have hit top 100. They said that basically they've been adding like a bunch of like random earth shocks and stuff like that, as well as Hagatha for board clear. So the new one actually doesn't have like a ton of new stuff, but it does have Storm Chaser, which I thought was really interesting. Harrison Joan, Reign of Toads as a 6-mana card, just to kind of like be able to stabilize like a lot of that stuff. And then it also has Hagatha to generate like more cards and spells for Shaman in general. Reign of Toads is a 6-mana, summon 3/2/4 taunts with Toad. Overload 3, which in a Murloc deck isn't that crazy to use with Overload, which is usually perfectly fine for the most part. Storm Chaser, let's see what this does. Storm Chaser, draw a spell from your deck that costs 4 or more. So basically just allows you to just pull out those Reign of Toads or that Bloodlust if you guys need a fast and quick finisher as well. Overall, pretty interesting type of deck. I'll definitely be checking out this Murloc deck or this Murloc Shaman deck for sure. It's one of the things too that we gotta kind of think about with HS Replay is that the thing with HS Replay is that they're taking data of like new decks and solid decks as well. So just because because a deck has like a really, really high win rate, you have to also look into like how many games are also played with that deck as well, because some of the decks here have like, yeah, they've been played a lot, but they're not they might necessarily not be like the best deck for you to see. So we'll have to see like how this ends up looking. I definitely suggest that if you guys do check out the Vicious Syndicate report, that you do check out, like, you break down like every single deck or whatever, because it's, you know, it's something that you definitely need to like look into. So for example, Murloc Shaman, just the basic one with Scargill, the deck recipe, it's at about a 54% win rate, but it has 120,000 games played, right? But the Murloc Shaman that they showed here has a 57% win rate as well, but it only has 22,000 games played. So you got to look into also just how many games and frequency of games are played, and if you want to ink out and really try hard and get the highest win rate that you can, you guys can go and do that. But yeah, Vicious Syndicate report, highly suggest go checking it out. Obviously there was a ton of stuff that we didn't cover, but the meta seems to be shaping up pretty good right now. Next up, just a little PSA with nothing really to add here, but it is something that we're gonna have to keep an eye out, and we'll definitely be reporting on this next Thursday, which is kind of interesting enough. But the single player announcement is coming May 9th. David Kozak has spread the word on Reddit that you'll be seeing some information on the adventure on May 9th. Most likely, we will get a YouTube video uploaded to the Play Hearthstone account that will talk about what the new single player content is. He said next week on Thursday, May 9th, we'll post a video where mission designer Giovanni will walk you through all the stuff to come. We'll also be announcing the launch date. Don't worry, it's soon. There's a lot to talk about. We're pretty fired up about it. Stay tuned. So once again, some stuff that we need to keep in mind, which they changed about the Year of the Dragon. First of all, they said it's coming soon, so it probably will be coming out on Tuesday, May 14th or Wednesday, May 15th is what my guess is. Keep in mind as well, this is going to be the first year where the event, the solo adventure content, the single player campaigns are going to tell a story through the whole Year of the Dragon and kind of flesh out what the story is in Rise of the Shadows for the other three expansions. But also keep in mind that this single player content is not going to be free. Remember, they've done away with free single player content from now on, and it will cost, I believe, $20 is the firmed price they had. They showed off what you would be getting with it. You would be getting about 15 to 17 packs with a $20 purchase. You will also be getting a card that works like Whizbang, but it will only use the Rise of Shadows decks, whereas Whizbang uses all the deck recipes randomly. This one will only use the Rise of Shadow deck recipes. I believe you will get an exclusive card back as well just for purchasing it, and then you will also be getting you'll also be getting a golden pack, right? The golden classic pack, where when you open it, all your cards are golden. So keep in mind that's coming out next week for about $20. I'm going to wait and see if I'm going to actually purchase it, because it is single player content. I'm not really sure. I'm hoping that it's something better than just like a rebrand of the Monster Hunt or whatever type of dungeon crawl or whatever that they usually end up doing. Because for $20 to justify that on top of people like pre-ordering the game is kind of going to be hard to sell or whatever for me. So we will see what ends up happening with that. Next announcement is just something that we didn't really get to go over last week or whatever, but kind of just using this article as a backdrop. But the Hearthstone Championship Tour for 2019 is over. If you guys didn't know who won, spoiler alert, Hunter Ace won. Probably no surprise there, but Hunter Ace is from the EU. He did really, really well, and he's a really good player. If you guys didn't know, he won the most Hearthstone tournaments this year alone. He was the first one to hit the Grandmaster title in Hearthstone as well, and he had some crazy amount of points. Oh, he's also like the highest point earner or something like that as well. Kid's like 17 or something like that, so good for him. He ended up taking home first place in the last Hearthstone Championship Tour for 2019. Also, this was the last tour where they would be using the Conquest format. Remember that that the reason why I say this is the last Hearthstone Championship Tour, remember that from now on, there will be no more Championship Tours or qualifiers that get you to the Championship Tour. They're kind of going more of a Magic the Gathering type of alignment, which is kind of funny because Magic is kind of going a more Hearthstone World Championship alignment with how they're doing it. But if you guys didn't hear or need a refresher, essentially what happens is there are now online qualifying tournaments, which you will then qualify for like a Premier tournament, which then those Premier tournaments will then qualify you for a Grand Prix, like in Magic the Gathering. Grand Prix will have about 256 people, and there will be prize pools of, I think, a baseline of about 350,000. They did announce that there will be special bundles that will be in the Hearthstone store that will sell card packs, cosmetic heroes, etc., etc., where 20 to 30% of those proceeds will go to the Hearthstone Esports pot for that Grand Prix. The first Grand Prix is coming up actually next month in May, I think around the time of EDC too, which is kind of funny, but or I guess this month of May. It will be in Las Vegas, Nevada. So what's basically going to happen is there is the Grand Prix. There will be, I believe, three of them this year. While that's happening on, there will be a Grand Masters thing going on. To get invited to the Grand Masters, you need to be the highest top money earners, top points in your region, etc., etc., and the lowest grandmasters will be given the boot out of this year as well. And then basically the people who, you know, earn the most money this year, earn the most points this year, got the highest ladder finishes consistently this year, will then be invited to the grandmasters tournament next year. So there'll be a rotation of things. So in theory, with some of the people who are invited, I'm just going to throw out a name there that comes to mind, like Hearthstone Dog. He is in there as one of the top point earners. If he consistently plays well this whole year in this Grandmasters circuit, like, he could stay for another year as long as he's doing, like, consistently well. And there could be, like, more of a visible timeline of, like, Grandmasters that are, like, as long as they're consistently playing well, we'll be able to stay. So I like the new format and the way they're doing the Hearthstone World Championship Tour and stuff like that. It's one of those things where if you get a top four or top eight, it's just as valuable as winning the whole thing. Whereas with this, it was kind of like you win or you don't, and it's a bust. We'll also have to see how the new specialist format is, right? That is the new format where you bring one class, three different decks, but each deck has to have, I believe, five cards different from it, so it's kind of like sideboarding as well. So we'll have to see how that goes. Either way, there's no more technically world championships, so when these Grand Prix are done, they're just done. There'll be one in America, one in Asia, one in Europe, and that's it. It's done for the year, with these Grandmaster tournaments also going on around the same time or after them. So there will be no, like, you know, big celebration at the very end of the year, from my understanding, of the Hearthstone World Championship, where someone will be, like, crowned the king of Hearthstone for the year. So keep that in mind, but congrats either way to Hunter Ace for winning the Hearthstone Championship 2019. Next up, just want to kind of throw this out here. There is a, like, 2-minute short that is for Hearthstone called Win or Lose. It's pretty cute. It was an animated short that was unveiled and premiered at the Hearthstone Championship Tour. Just watch it. It's pretty cute. I liked it a lot. I hope they do more animations like this and stuff like that, but other than that, that's really it. Last article of the day, and this is something that isn't really pertaining to Hearthstone, but just in Blizzard in general. If you guys didn't know, BlizzCon is coming, and it is upon us. There are two dates to buy tickets or whatever. If you guys didn't know, BlizzCon is always held in Anaheim, California. It is going to be from November 1st to 2nd, so 2 days. Tickets are on sale May 4th and May 8th, so keep that in mind as well. May 4th, it will be at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, whereas May 8th, which is a Wednesday, will be at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time through AXS. You have to get your tickets between May 4th. Get your tickets on May 4th and May 8th. Those are the only 2 days they're selling them. It's going to be all online, obviously. This year, the prices of tickets have gone up. Regular tickets now are $230 up from $199, and there is a new ticket called the Portal Pass ticket. This is a ticket that is $550. So a regular ticket is kind of what everyone went for last year. It's just the ticket that you got. There was no other tier. This year, there is a second tier called the Portal Pass ticket. This is $550. Apparently, it gets you entry into a Portal Pass lounge, a pre-event evening. It gets you early entry, shorter security lines, and preferred parking as well for $550, which, Luckily, I live somewhat near the convention, so I'm probably just going to Uber there. But this looks like a nightmare if for people who are going to be like coming from, I don't know, out of town, but still not close enough to like get a hotel. We'll see how this ends up going and stuff like that. But yeah, I most likely, if I do go, I'm still up in the air if I'm always going. For me, I might just go afterwards or whatever. Might just save the money and not go. I'm not as hyped to go this year. Really depends if some friends go or if they don't go. I'm not super hyped to go this year, to be honest, though. Ticket transfers are permanent this year. Once you transfer it, it's gone from your account. Ticket purchasing opportunity is random if you are in before they go on sale, so keep that in mind. The goodie bag this year includes an orc or human statue, and this year the show floor will expand to Hall E, which was the bottom floor where the store used to be. And apparently now the store is going to be off-site of the convention center, but somewhere pretty close by. So keep that in mind, guys. Good luck. Ticket sales on May 4th. That is this Saturday. We're currently recording this on May 2nd, Thursday, so you have 2 days for that. And then after that, May 8th. No word on who the band or the special guests or anyone of that nature is going to be. So good luck. Hopefully get your BlizzCon tickets and I'll see you. Maybe I'll see you there. Anyway, guys, that is going to be it for this week in Hearthstone. Just wanted to say thank you so much for hanging out. Sorry there was no episode once again last week as well. But yeah, that is all we have time for today. Not too many articles. We'll be back next week on May 9th to talk about the single player solo content as well and kind of dissect it down that as well. As always, though, kind of want to just give a shout out to the socials. You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, or Twitch at Ryan Kubo. That is RyanKubo. You can also check us out on YouTube. That's SHIGEOSTWITCHTV. And then, as always, you can check us out on Spotify or iTunes. All these links are in your episode description down below. Thank you guys so much for hanging out, and I will see you guys next week for another episode of This Week in Hearthstone. Later, guys.